up and get your day started. It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
We're going to start you up, Mick Jagger. We're ready to rock and roll. Happy hump day, everybody. Welcome in to Sports 56 Mornings on this Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026. The gang's all here. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham, and a cast of thousands. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, it's where family and fun come together. They got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on right now. It's going on through May 10th. It's a battle of the brands. Seven manufacturers all fighting for your business and all types of great deals. Check it out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Your Wednesday morning, if you're getting up with us, starting out a little bit cool at 54 degrees, going to warm up to about 82 today. Sunshine and a few clouds. So pretty much what we had yesterday weather-wise, and that'll be pretty much the same tomorrow. Friday looks like there's a good chance of rain, although it won't be an all-day rain affair. Could be some thunderstorms as well, but I see that the sunshine is a possibility on Friday. About a 93% chance, though, of precip. Then on Saturday and Sunday, looks like about a 50% chance of precipitation Saturday, but sunshine for a good part of the day. Sunday looks to be nice. A little bit more clouds, about a 25% chance of precip. So all in all, pretty nice weather. We'll stay in the low 80s, upper 70s. But again, cool starts to the morning, which I'm not opposed to. Coming up on the program today, we got the NBA playoffs to talk about. Surprise, surprise. More surprises last night in the three games that were played. Upsets galore. We will talk about that. We got other NBA news to get into. We'll talk transfer portal. Yesterday came and went, last day for players to jump into the portal. We'll give you the latest as far as the University of Memphis is concerned and some national recruiting as well. Some Major League Baseball we'll talk about, including the reeling Mets who lose once again. We got some college football news and conversations being had in Texas about the future of the college football playoff, where it might end up. DeMichael Cole joins us at 8:05. To talk Grizzlies, now that we know they have the 16th pick, we still don't know exactly where in the lottery they'll pick, but we know they have two first-rounders and a second-rounder. We'll talk to DeMichael about options. He's written about that, options they may be looking at for the Grizzlies moving forward and as they get ready for the draft in June. Teresa Walker at 9:05 on the Titans. The NFL draft begins tomorrow with round one. We'll talk to Teresa about the Titans, what she thinks they'll do. Of course, they got a new staff, new head coach, and Robert Saleh. And also the Super Bowl, with those rumors out there that Nashville will host in 2030. So all that coming up on the program today. Hour one is brought to you by the great folks at Old Dominic Distillery at 305 South Front Street, online at olddominic.com. The distillery bar is fantastic. If you head on downtown for a dinner, a show, whatever the case may be, a sporting event, make sure you top it off with a cocktail from Old Dominic Distillery. The revival began in 2017, but this is 150 years in the making. They got happy hour on Thursdays from 4 to 7. They got two events coming up real quick. I'll tell you about that. This has been a rescheduled event. I told you last week about the Old Dominic's crawfish boil. Because of the weather, the forecast last weekend was good, was bad. They have decided to table that until Saturday, May 23rd. That's going to be a good old time with the Risky Whiskey Boys playing and all kinds of great food and drink at Old Dominic. And then coming up on the 24th of this month, so two more days from now, Old Dominic Distillery will be at the Memphis Zoo for their Roar and Pour. Again, that's coming up on Saturday, or make that Friday, April 24th. Again, for more information, go online and find out more about them at olddominic.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Well, one of the things happened is my Cubs keep beating up on your Phillies.
Phillies have lost seven straight games. I got my buddy in town who's as rabid a Phillies fan as I am, so he's going crazy. Although, he's a huge Eagles fan, so he's concerned about the draft. He's like, we're not doing anything tonight, right? We'll watch the draft. It's like,
Wait, I mean, tomorrow night, round number one. I said, no, we'll watch the draft. I like watching the draft. He's another one of those nuts that likes watching the draft. So we'll do that. But he's a bigger Eagles fan than he is a Phillies fan. I'm a bigger Phillies fan because baseball is my favorite sport. So I don't know what's going on with the Phillies. The guys that need to be hitting aren't hitting. They're getting inconsistent pitching. Could be worse. Could be the Mets, who've lost 12 in a row.
Could be.
Mendoza, I don't know how he survives this thing if it keeps going.
That's the only way it would be worse.
Yeah, it's bad. So congrats, but it's early. It's early in the season. We're only about 20 or so games into the season. Jay Hamm, how are you this lovely Wednesday morning?
Yeah, brilliant. Feeling lovely, I guess.
You know, are you feeling lovely?
Yeah, watched some good basketball, so it was good for the soul.
Well, I heard you, I don't know if you made a prediction, but I heard you on Harden Show talk about the Rockets-Lakers game. And you said, they asked you for a pick, and you said, well, let me see if Durant's playing. Well, Durant played, and they still lost.
They have no playmaker out on the perimeter, and it's just, he's kind of like, offensively, it's kind of like he's like a man without a country. You know, Sengun is, he's a good player, but he's not one of those that's, you're going to build everything around and just, you know, facilitate through him, not at least yet anyway. They just didn't address a need that they needed all year, and that was when Fred VanVleet went down. They didn't fill that void.
Bigger loss than we thought at the time, because you're watching the Rockets during the regular season. You watch them with your eyes. You look at the box score, and you go, oh, they probably have enough there. You combine Reed Sheppard with Amen Thompson and some of these. Nope, it's been exposed in this playoff. Last night we actually had three upsets because the Rockets were favored in L.A. They lose. The Trailblazers beat the Spurs in San Antonio, which is a shocker. The biggest shocker, though, we got to start with, and it's one game, I understand it's a best-of-seven series. This isn't a one-off. Philadelphia, without, again, Joel Embiid, to go into Boston and beat the Celtics by 14 points, VJ Edgecombe gets hurt, comes back into the game, scores 30 points. He becomes, and has... what, 30 points and was it 10 rebounds?
Yeah, 10 boards.
He's the youngest player to do that in the playoffs since Magic Johnson. And he's the first to do it since Tim Duncan. That's rarefied air. Eli, I did not see that one coming. Again, one game, but good on the Sixers to even that series before they head back to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that nobody possibly saw that coming, but the great equalizer in basketball, especially today, is the three-point shot. And 19 of 39 from three-point range, that can change things for a team. And obviously, Edgecombe was awesome leading that charge, 6 of 10 from three from him. He was ultra-efficient in getting the 30 points. Maxey was really good as well. You know, we talked about the stars have to be stars, especially if you're the big underdog. Your guys got to do it. And for the Celtics, Tatum and Brown had pretty good games, but there was just no help really anywhere to be found. And a lot of those guys for them that normally hit threes weren't hitting threes. And that can happen in a hurry. The three-point shot, again, is the great equalizer.
Oh, you ain't kidding. 13 of 50 for Boston. 26%. Yeah, they made 13, but as you said, Philly made six more at 19. But Philly did it efficiently with 11 less three-pointers attempted. And as you mentioned, guys that normally hit threes, Derek White, 2 of 10. Tatum, not known so much for three-point shooting, but he can knock them down, 2 for 8. Sam Hauser's a three-point shooter, was in the starting lineup, 2 for 8. What did Pritchard do? Pritchard, 0 for 4. Yeah, hard to win when those guys are all struggling from the three-point line.
Yeah. And they struggle defensively as well, you know.
Probably gets in their head when they're not making shots,
well,
right?
It affects that part, they were late on a lot of rotations. It was a couple, you know, just great offensive execution by Philly. And making shots can change your whole mood.
Isn't it amazing how that works?
It's amazing how that changes things.
Yeah. Everything, you know, because the way that Philly was able to come back and also defend as well. It's like, you know, everybody's energy was up. Andre Drummond giving great energy. Kelly Oubre doing Kelly Oubre type things on the good side. It just... turned into good positive, but they only made four threes on Sunday, 19 last night. There's your difference.
It can be. It's amazing how when you are making shots offensively, you play better defense.
You play
as
much
well.
Better defense. You know,
crazy how that happens.
You have that slap the floor moment like Duke likes to have.
I mean, Maxey, you mentioned big game, 29 points, but he adds 9 assists, 4 rebounds. And then Edgecombe, again, the rookie gets 10 rebounds to go along with 30 points. 6 of 10 from 3.
He turned into Andrew Toney in the first half.
Andrew Toney.
I mean, because he was cooking. You know, the shots that he was making. I think he made like 2 or 3 threes in a row, a couple of floaters. And it was just, it reminded me of when Andrew Toney.
Yeah.
When I watched that film back, it was just buckets. And it was happening in Boston.
Blast from the past. Again, Boston has not beaten, or Philadelphia has not beaten Boston since the early 80s in a playoff series. And now that series is even at 1. They will head now to Philadelphia for Friday's game number 3. But that was not the only surprise last night. The Portland Trailblazers go into San Antonio and beat the Spurs 106-103. Now, a couple of things about that game. The Spurs are losing. Wemby goes down with hitting his head on the floor, so concussion protocol, and he's lost for the rest of the game. Soon as he goes out, they go on a run, they take the lead. And even though they didn't have Wemby, I thought, wow, they took the lead, they're at home, they're playing off the energy of the fan base, they're already up 1-0 in the series, they'll probably cruise to a win. Give Portland credit. Every time the Spurs look like they're going to run away with this thing, get the lead up to like 7, they come down, they make a bucket.
They walked it down from 14 with 5 minutes to play.
Yeah, the Spurs had won 76 straight playoff games with a 14-point fourth-quarter lead. It's unbelievable comeback. Again, obviously without Wembanyama, it makes it a little easier. And they got some they made some plays. They got some lucky breaks late in that game. The air ball by Williams that went right into the hands of Jrue Holiday for the layup. But then the alley-oop dunk from Advia to Williams was just nasty. But I was happy to see Scoot Henderson have that game. I like Scoot Henderson. I loved it. Like when he came in and played against the Hustle, when he was with the G League Ignite, you could just see the raw ability there. He certainly is still far from a polished player, but he's starting to figure it out. He's also starting to stay healthy, which helps. But there is a ton of ability there. And if he shoots the basketball like that, then he becomes a real problem because he's a great defender. And then offensively, he's just usually not real efficient, but if he can be efficient like that, he could be a real problem.
Well, I thought they did a great job on Advia. He ended up with 14 points. He was 5 of 13 from the field, but they were really defending him well, so somebody had to step up, and it was Scoot with his 31 points. Never diminished the value of Jrue Holiday, the veteran, been there, done that, 16 points. He adds 9 assists. He gets you 5 rebounds, has a couple of blocks and a steal. He did a great job. And the Spurs, they didn't take a ton of threes, but they didn't make a ton of threes, 7 of 24. So they weren't really shooting the outside rock that well. Wemby goes out after 12 minutes. They ended up with Castle going for 18, Fox 17, Vassell at 16. But Thiago Splitter, give him the full-time job, for goodness sakes, to win the game.
Oh, well, all the off-court stuff with Portland adds a whole different ball of wax right now.
He may not want the full-time.
We ain't getting paid nothing to do it. And so, the whole off-the-court stuff is just – I'm surprised these guys are even able to go out there and figure anything out with all the stuff. Trying to tune out some outside noise about your organization and what's going on and what's going to happen in the future and everything else that they dealt with. But, I mean, this thing now – with the Wembanyama situation, now we got...
It's a series.
It's certainly a series. He's automatically out 48 hours. Can't do anything for 48 hours. And then he's got to... And now that... They don't play again till Friday.
It's Friday night.
So he theoretically could be back for game 3. But you don't see guys very often clearing concussion protocol that quickly. And the way... I mean... Dude, that his head smacked the floor. That's one of the hardest I've ever seen a guy's head hit the floor, man. That was nasty.
He tried to get up and he was dizzy and had to go back down. He hit it hard, like you said. The only saving grace is that, as you said, they play Friday, which is 3 days, because after that, if the series goes the distance, it's every 2 days that they play. So having this extra day, hopefully for the sake of the Spurs, it benefits them and Wemby could come back. Look, I know Portland won a game. Even with Wemby out, I don't know if they can win the series. I think the Spurs are still a solid team. I don't think the Spurs, without Wemby, are a team that's going to win the West or anything like that. But I think they can still handle the Blazers. But you're right, with everything that's going on, all the distractions. I mean, it started at the beginning of the year with the Chauncey Billups thing. I think Splitter's done a tremendous job. Some of those young players really stepping up, like Scoot. And they brought in, you know, a veteran, Drew Holiday, who's going to help them out a lot. So good for them to get the win last night.
It was kind of funny to see how things kind of neutralized as we expected. If Wemby's not on the floor, that Spurs team is just a good young playoff team.
Yes. Well, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't know who wins this series. If he misses two or three games,
I still think the Spurs still win.
Like, they should, but. You were talking the youth factor. You know, we talk with a lot of these guys.
Like, De'Aaron Fox better be awesome if they're going to win the series without him.
You have to. And just as well as Drew Holiday can be awesome and take it away, you know, with those veteran guys.
But they're both young. Yeah. Both these teams are
That's
young.
That's what I'm saying. That the fact that they're both young makes it that much more intriguing.
Could you imagine, though, if last night you bet the three underdogs? I mean, they were solid underdogs, even the Lakers. You had two?
I bet two of them.
Did you parlay them?
Yeah, and the double-digit favorites with Boston and San Antonio, and both lost. So, and they both were, I think San Antonio was 11.5, and Boston was 14.
So you took, the favorites or the dogs?
I took the favorites.
Oh, wow.
All right, and I'm thinking, okay, game two, boat races, we're on the way.
You weren't the only one who thought that, believe me. You were not the only one. So – we have the upset in Philadelphia. That evens that series. We have the upset in San Antonio, which, again, what do they say? The series doesn't begin until the road team wins the first. Well, we got a series. We got two series. And I don't know what's going on with the Rockets, but the Rockets, a favorite. Vegas made them the favorite because they knew Durant was going to play, and he played. KD had 23 points. He also had 9 turnovers. The Lakers did not have Luka Doncic. Of course, Austin Reeves is out. But they have a guy named LeBron James who is still a marvel at what he can do at his age. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. But for the second straight game, a former Grizzly comes through. Game one, it was Luke Kennard and his 27 points. Last night, it was Marcus Smart and his 25 points and 7 assists. So the Lakers get the win 101-94, despite them being a dog at home, and now they go to Houston with a 2-0 lead.
Well, in both games, it's been both former Grizzlies. I mean, those two guys I'm saying they were both great in game one. They're both great last night. I mean, it's 48 points combined last night between the two of them. Yeah. I mean, they've been the big three with LeBron. They've replaced Doncic and Reeves themselves, basically. I mean, Marcus Smart early in that game was incredible. With what he was doing defensively, combined with just making three after three, when he was with the Grizzlies, when he played, like he has those games where he just suddenly gets hot as heck from 3-point range. Now the next game he might go 1-for-10, like you can very easily go 1-for-10 from three. You have no idea, but he has those games. Now Kennard, you know, again for Grizzlies fans, it's just frustrating because he was not that willing to shoot the basketball ever here, but now he's launching like it's nothing, and he's been fantastic. The funny thing, at halftime, when Durant had the 20 in the first half, I was like, if he can just get anything, get anybody else to do anything in the second half, they'll win the game. And then Şengün gets going in the second half, and Durant can't do anything in the second half. He ends up scoring, 3 second-half points? I mean, it was like the complete turnaround. If you would have told me Şengün was going to have the second half he was going to have, I was like, oh, this will be, they will win for sure. And because I was like, well, Marcus Smart won't keep it up, but he did. And then Durant, I don't know, like it was, you know, they were running double teams at him early, but he still didn't matter. Like he just kept hitting shot after shot. And then second half, it was, I think he got 5 field goal attempts the entire second half. It was what they did to him in the second half was crazy.
But the Lakers turned it over only 12 times. Only 12 turnovers in the game. I know Luka, he'll turn the ball over a little bit more than you would hope that he would, but he'd also score you 35, 40 points. So you don't have Luka. You don't have Reeves. The bench for the Lakers, really non-existent. They got 6 points from Jackson Hayes. Bronny played 3 minutes. So basically, they played 8 guys. Jared Vanderbilt played 14. Jake LaRavia, another former Grizzly, with 16. And Jackson Hayes with 21. So that put a lot of pressure on LeBron to come through and the other starters. And, you know, LeBron, he's been there and done that. Rui Hachimura, who we know is a Grizzly killer, he's been the postseason a lot. But you got DeAndre Ayton coming in, who only had 6 points and 5 rebounds. So you're not going to win the game just because LeBron goes for 28 and no bench scoring. You need somebody else to step up. And like you talked about, Smart and Kennard combining for 48. So basically you played 8 guys, Bronny 3 minutes again. So technically 9, but really 8. 3 of them former Grizzlies. That's why I'm telling you, when Josh traded, he's going to be healthy as hell. He's going to be an all-star. He's going to come back, and he's going to put 40 on Memphis every time he plays him.
That's what I was just about to say. Healthy Grizzlies with the Lakers right now.
Oh, no, that's what I mean.
Sure they're healthy.
if the Grizzlies don't trade Ja, he'll play 12 games next year. There's just something. I don't know. Maybe people are not as superstitious as I am, but there's just something going on. Bring in the witch doctor. Do something. These guys go down. Yeah, and I know Smart's missed a few games since he went to Los Angeles. But come on, man. And like you said, Kennard wouldn't shoot the ball. He's a shooter who wouldn't shoot the ball most of the time with the Grizzlies. And here he is needing his shooting, the Lakers, and they're getting his shooting. 50 points he has scored in 2 games. Unbelievable. So that was an upset, even though the Lakers were playing at home. 3 games last night in the NBA, 3 upsets. Tonight we got 2 games. I don't even know if I want to ask you guys about, could there be an upset? Because the last 2 nights have been all upsets, basically. Magic at the Pistons. The Magic already took Game 1. The Pistons are an 8.5-point favorite in Game 2. And then the Suns and the Thunder. Oklahoma City's a 17.5-point favorite.
That's got to be too many. That's a playoff game. I mean, 17.5 in a playoff game. Again, I know Oklahoma City's awesome, but that, especially when you see what we saw last night, like 17.5 just seems like too many.
Do you know what you can get on the money line if you take the Suns?
What you get?
+1,100.
I can believe it.
I mean, we've had all these series. Well, not all of them, but I know Cleveland's up 2-0. But a lot of these series are 1-1, 1-1, 1-1. There's no way, right? There's no way the Suns are winning. I think they'll cover. Like Eli said, that's too many points. There's no way they're going into Oklahoma City winning that game, right?
They had to be lights out, and a whole lot of stuff for the Oklahoma City Thunder would have to go wrong.
I will genuflect in front of the NBA gods tomorrow morning on the show if they win that game.
It'll take the making 23s, and Oklahoma City has a terrible shooting night.
Terrible shooting night. Dylan Brooks is 15 of 19 as opposed to 5 for 20 like he was through the third quarter on Sunday.
Right.
Something to... An act of a series of acts from God.
And then the other one, I think the Pistons will even the series.
I want to believe that, but...
But I don't know. I would stay away from that game.
A hole got exposed with the Pistons that they don't have that guy that can come off the bench that can create scoring opportunities for others outside of Dennis Jenkins. And he didn't play necessarily that well.
And that size is an issue.
Yeah.
Which it did not rear its ugly head for the Pistons during the regular season.
Not just the size, but then they're skilled big dudes, to go with it. Wendell Carter is a skilled big man.
One other NBA note, the Clutch Player of the Year award was handed out last night. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a runaway winner, Jamal Murray of the Nuggets, who has certainly been clutch in his career, he finished second, Anthony Edwards third. No surprise there, right?
What's crazy is you think about Oklahoma City and they all these blowouts, so they don't even play clutch games. But, and SGA, he sits out fourth quarter, but he still led the league in clutch points. He scored more clutch points than anybody.
How do they identify clutch points?
Clutch situation is within 5 in the last 5 minutes.
Within 5. And I think the 2-possession game within 5.
But he's right. How many times have the Thunder been in that situation?
He shockingly enough, he played in 27 clutch games. They had, I think, 34 total, which again is a low total. You were talking within 5 points in the last 5 minutes to only have less than half your schedule come down to that. I mean, all it's got to do is hit that situation at any point. But he played, I think, in 20. I think it was because I think they went 20-7. They said in the clutch games he played in. But again, he led the league in clutch points even with that. He shot like 60% or 61%, something like that, in clutch situations.
What's tonight's award?
Tonight is sixth man or most improved. Which one? It is. It's one of the two. Tonight is sixth man.
Who do you like for that?
Who do they list as candidate?
Who's the final three?
The final.
Keldon Johnson won?
It's Vassell.
Oh, Vassell.
Where I had those listed somewhere. I don't know who the three finalists are for that.
Okay. Now, Vassell started yesterday for San Antonio. I thought Keldon Johnson was like the sixth man.
What? Maybe, I don't, maybe, let's see, sixth man award.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot here. While you're looking that up, again, hour number one brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery, producing Tennessee whiskey, bourbon whiskey, Honeyball, citrus vodka, Formula 10 gin, right there in downtown Memphis at the distillery. And the distillery bar, a great place to visit for one of those award-winning craft spirits. Maybe before a show, after a show, any kind of event that's going on downtown. You go to dinner downtown, make sure to cap it off with a nightcap at Old Dominic Distillery.
It is Keldon Johnson, then Tim Hardaway Jr. and Jaime Jaquez Jr.
I think Keldon Johnson.
I think Johnson is the overwhelming betting favorite, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll go Keldon on that one.
All right. We'll take a timeout. Just getting underway on a Wednesday. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
Unlock your new go-to.
Back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Greater Curry Tech City. So these playoff games are not good for the casual wager fan like myself. It's crazy. I have no idea right now, but I'm doing it again tonight with the Pistons and Thunder money line. If I lose this one, I'll sit out for a while. Listen, betting on the NBA is really hard. It is. I'm not even allowed to do it. If I was allowed to do it, I wouldn't do it. Not if you want to make money. Betting on the NBA, we know betting's hard to begin with, but betting on the NBA is extremely difficult to figure out.
So you can't play anything NBA-wise because of your affiliation with the Grizzlies and the Hustle?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
But yeah, if you're trying to win bets, it's just not, because again, like you look at how many of these games the last 2 days where teams had a big fourth quarter lead, or we've had these crazy runs in the fourth quarter. Like you think you've got to bet one, and you end up losing it. I mean, again, the Spurs had won 76 straight games leading by 14 in the fourth, and they lose. Like there's no way to predict that.
Yeah, I've stayed away from it. I know how tough it is. I mean, Monday night, we had three games. We had the Hawks upsetting the Knicks. We had the Timberwolves upsetting the Nuggets. So two out of the three were upsets. Last night, they were all upsets, including the Lakers at home. They were an underdog. So out of the last six games, five dogs have won out of those six. And again, tonight, if the Suns somehow beat the Thunder... I don't know. I would just lose my mind. 17.5-point favorite, but no way in your right mind you want to put money down and lay 17.5 in a wild NBA playoff game. You just never know. You never know with this stuff. And the Magic, the Pistons, I think that's a tough one too. So Orlando made them look silly. Jalen Duren, the former Memphis Tiger, has vowed to be more aggressive. I think he only took four shots in game number one. By the way, Kevin Durant with the Rockets losing last night in Los Angeles, seven straight playoff losses for KD. His last win, May 7th, 2023. And again, he scored 23, but he turned it over nine times last night. And I think most people believe when we knew Durant was playing, people stockpiled bets with the Rockets. And Vegas, of course, from the get-go, they thought he was going to play, and that's why that line was what it was. But LeBron, man. LeBron, the ageless wonder, and then it's LeBron and the Grizzlyettes, right now with Los Angeles. three former Grizzlies.
So I was mentioning the situation with the Trailblazers. And for those that don't know, the new owner, Tom Dundon.
Dundon.
Who paid $4.5 billion for the team. $4.5 billion for the team.
Peanuts to him.
Has basically come in and cut cost in any way that he possibly can. And one of the things is he's, all of the reporting is he's already talked to like, people he's like talked to like 20 candidates for the head coaching job while he's got a head coach. Granted, it is technically an interim.
Who's done a really good job.
But he's got him in the playoffs and
right.
in a 1-1 series. But he's also, the report is, he only wants to spend like $1 million on a head coach.
Really?
I don't know who the 20 candidates he would have talked to are, but I would assume the response from every one of them would be, get the hell out of here.
Thanks, but no thanks.
$1 million as an for an NBA head coach? Like, that's ridiculous. But then you hear all of the other stuff and you realize, oh gosh, like that's, they are the only team not traveling their two ways for the
I saw that.
Road games. Even though they're not eligible to play, but every team takes them on the road for the playoffs. Like, it's, they're a part of your team. He's not doing that. They left their digital reporter at home, left their team photographer at home. They're not going to have, apparently, T-shirts for the fans for the two home games coming up.
Jeez.
But my favorite one is that all staff other than players and coaches on the road don't get late checkouts at the hotel. They got to check out at 12:30. So they say, like, at the port, their hotel, like, you go in there in the afternoon, and there's just team staff everywhere because they've had to check out of their room. They're just hanging out in the lobby waiting for, like, the buses to go to the arena because he won't pay for late checkout for staff. The dude spent $4.5 billion on a team. He doesn't want to pay for a late checkout.
If you are going to spend that type of money to be an owner, a sports owner, and you're going to pinch pennies, I don't understand why he got into the business to begin with.
But apparently he did the same thing when he bought the Hurricanes. And they're, like, really good now. I don't know. But that's what I read. The Hurricanes are, like, one of the best teams in hockey. And he apparently did the exact same thing. But, like, the team masseuse the other night, like, didn't have anywhere to work on players.
They didn't give her a table or whatever the case it was.
They didn't give the masseuse a table to do the massages on? Right. Lay down on the floor?
No, I think it was because she's out of her room. Because she's staffed. She doesn't get late checkout.
Well, she should have a mobile table.
She doesn't have a place to go. So it's like,
that's ridiculous.
It's just, it's crazy to hear. Like, that a guy with, but in the funny, I mean, for Portland, it's a shock to the system because apparently, like, Paul Allen was the exact opposite of that. He spent money on everything. Like, he took care of everybody and everything. Like, he was absolutely amazing. So now you got this, like, dude comes in and, like, nope, that's no. And I'll be like, it's a,
Where did he come from? What? Where did he make his money?
He made his. I don't.
I've never heard of this guy.
He made his money in, I think, auto loans or home loan. I don't know. The loan industry, I believe, is what he did.
Sounds like a shyster.
And I don't know what he. I don't know what he paid for the Hurricanes. What he bought them, and then came in and cut costs. But when you're paying that much money for a team.
Right.
And then you told
pinch
people
pennies.
You can't have late checkout. Like, it just doesn't even. But this is my favorite. This tweet, somebody tweeted last night. Wait, it's hilarious.
It gets better.
You got to think the Blazers are going to be celebrating this win for the entire 31-hour Greyhound ride bus back to Portland.
Because I saw somebody share that same video, that same take pretty much, but they used the bus from Major League.
Gosh. They're like, how can we celebrate this win? Natty Bo, that's all you guys are getting, man.
They used the bus from Major League that Rachel Phelps put the Indians on.
So. I mean, that's that. I mean, hell, if you're not paying for late checkout, he might have them busing from San Antonio to Portland. Who knows, man? And if you want. If they want to pay $1 million for a coach, I want to see. Hell, if I'm Tiago Splitter, I don't accept $1 million. Nobody should accept $1 million to coach an NBA team.
Did this guy not understand what the going rate for a coach was when he purchased the team?
I don't think he cared.
My gosh. Hey, did you guys see the NBA two-minute report from the Knicks-Hawks game from Game 2? I saw this yesterday.
I try to stay away from those because I think they're stupid.
It is stupid because it's like the final 2 minutes. Well, what happened at the three-minute mark and the four-minute mark and when they missed three calls during the 5 minutes?
I need a 48-minute report.
I want to see those reports, but probably they take too long to put together. So they came up with two errors, two big errors that happened in the final 2 minutes. When Brunson hit the three to pull to within one, remember we talked about this yesterday and I said that was an illegal screen? They looked back at it. It was an illegal screen. That's why he got so open. They should have called an illegal screen. They did not. Now, some people would say, let the kids play. All right, it was a hard screen. So what? Let them play. But if it's an illegal moving screen, you need to call that. The other one was there was a lane violation on one of the C.J. McCollum missed free throws. So both went against.
There's a lane violation on just about every free throw shot in the NBA.
Especially when the shooter kind of delays, like hesitates.
They literally could call a lane violation in every free throw.
Yeah, but the point being is both were against the Hawks, but they still won the game. And so I was reading where like it would have been a big deal yesterday if they had lost that game. But because they won the game, they didn't make it a big deal. But like you said, Jay Ham, these two-minute reports, you come back and you're like, oh, my gosh, they missed six calls in the last 2 minutes?
Like, is this supposed to make anybody feel better after reading it?
No, I don't even get why they do that. I don't get – as long – to me, is I don't care. It would be nice if – everything came out in the open and you found out about everything from voting on Hall of Famers. And I know now it's like – I think they're releasing that a little bit. But especially with this kind of stuff, I would love the transparency. But if it's no transparency, that's fine as long as the officials are held to a standard, just like players are held to a standard or coaches are held to a standard, that if you're messing up consistently, you're not getting the prime plum assignments that affects you in the wallet, it affects you in stature. We don't need to know about it as long as that's being taken care of. And I would think it is behind closed doors. I would think it's being taken care of. Okay, so from the NBA to college basketball and the portal. The portal is now closed. Do they put an actual lock, like a big padlock on the portal? Is that what happens?
With a fresh alarm code and everything.
Exactly. So yesterday was the deadline. Players jumped in. The big guy from Florida is coming back. Was it Hawk?
Dude, Florida's keeping everybody. The Chinyalu is still up in the air, but
Condon's back?
They may have that entire front line back with Hawk, Condon, and Chinyalu. Chinyalu did not go in the portal. He's doing the NBA stuff, but he's not in the portal. So if he does not go NBA, he's coming back. They got Aberdeen back after he had left and went to Kentucky. He's coming back for next year. You've got Fland, and you've got
Lee?
No, the kid off the bench, the shooter off the bench. Like, they're basically putting – they're going to have most of last year's team plus adding Aberdeen back, who was with the national championship team the year before.
Wow.
Like, Florida – but then, of course, Duke – like, Florida and Duke right now look so awesome. I mean, it's going to – they're going to be the two overwhelming favorites going into the year.
Yeah.
And Michigan's also really good. So, Michigan – depending on – they still got to wait on Mara, a couple of things, but like there might be like three or four teams that you just look at and go, like, seriously, how does anybody beat those four
right.
teams?
Right. Well, Michigan, obviously, they lose Lendeborg to the NBA, and UConn loses Caravan, and they lose Solo Ball to injury. So they're getting guys back, strong players, but they are not getting the amount of players and the higher percentage of players that Florida's getting back and Duke's getting back, like you said. But as we talked about yesterday with the whole thing with Billy Donovan, by the way, nothing new materialized from the Billy Donovan thing. I'm still wondering, like,
they put out a statement. They all put out he put out a statement. Team put out a statement. Everybody else.
Okay, but what did he say? Is he retiring?
No.
Okay. All right. So obviously, he had enough of what's going on with the Chicago.
As he said, it would be in his. After their discussions, it would be, as I said, when it first happened, when they gave it would be dumb for them to go hire a whole new front office and make them have a head coach.
It is stupid. It is stupid.
And so he said, like,
but it's his job.
It would be better for them to have a fresh start with that. And all's good.
Well, we were talking yesterday about Steve Kerr. We don't know yet. Draymond Green thinks he's probably going to step down. I know that we've heard the Warriors front office would want Steve Kerr to sign a multi-year deal. Maybe he wants to coach another year. It doesn't look like that'll happen, but who knows? Maybe they'll give in to a guy who's had so much success. But let's say he's gone. We were talking about the name that popped up right away was Todd Golden, which is interesting about all these Florida guys coming back. What happened if Kerr stepped down? They hired Golden. Would these Florida guys, like, they would have a chance to go to another school. They wouldn't be going to the NBA, but they'd have a chance to go to another school. So I think that's probably a long shot. But what about if Kerr steps down? Why, if you're Golden State, when you reach out to Billy Donovan?
Wouldn't be a bad call. I mean, a phone call don't hurt anything.
No, not at all.
Joe, check his temperature, see what he wants to do. I even think you mentioned yesterday the possibility of him going back to Gainesville.
And then I heard on the national show coming in, they were talking about Chicago should look into bringing back Thibodeau, who had success there. They have not had a lot of success in the last decade, but when Thibodeau was a coach, they had some decent success there.
The only thing with it is that Tibbs is not too big on young players. And
I was going to say, that's a
very
young,
young team.
Players. Yeah, the whole team, that's all it is.
And the same really with Kerr. Kerr don't really try to do too much with young players like that either. But,
right.
You know.
That was what was left for you.
Right.
I mean, I think, like, Donovan can take – he may very well want to take a year off after dealing with the headaches and mess that Chicago is. And then he could get pretty much any college job that he wants, any NBA job. I mean, again, he hasn't had a whole lot of success in the NBA. He's had a little bit of success. He did in Oklahoma City. But at the college level, you know, there's people that automatically bring up Kentucky. If Mark Pope has another bad year next year, he's out. Billy Donovan started his coaching career there, could walk – He could get that job in a heartbeat, I'm sure. Kentucky would hire him.
With big names, whether it be in college, football, basketball, or NBA, NFL, so on and so forth, how often, I wonder what the percentage is of the big names, and we'd have to, you know, I guess define what the big names are, that step down for a year or even get fired, how many of them, after sitting out a year, go back to coaching? Some stay out of it. Some retire. Some get into broadcasting.
And then some that do that, and then they come back a while after they do that.
Oh, that's happened. Well, as long as they work at ESPN, yeah. then they get a gig. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes you have a lot of money. You sit out a year. Sometimes you miss it. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're enjoying going to play golf and not worrying about the anxiety that comes along with being a coach.
And he didn't, like Eli mentioned, he didn't have a ton of success in the NBA, but he was one game away from an NBA final.
Yeah,
he was able to do that, and as well as coaching the Final Four in the same decade.
But when the story came out about the GM and that they were going, like, Billy Donovan was going to be the coach, whoever the GM is going to be, they're already going to have their head coach. They weren't going to be able to hire their own head coach. I said, and look, I know he had a lot of success in college, back-to-back national championships, but I'm the one who brought up on this panel about, like, look at Billy Donovan's record in the NBA. It's not like it's phenomenal, but for some reason, they love him in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it was him, not them telling him, there's the door. It was him saying, I'm going through that door because I don't like what's going on. Like, he made the decision, but how often does he want in Chicago? His record's under 500.
And I think we mentioned this one yesterday as well. You could revisit from that first time where he almost, you know, made that cross into the NBA. He almost was the coach of the Orlando Magic.
That's right.
Yeah, that one could be open again, too. So
that's right. I mean, there's a few openings, and who knows? There might be a few more coming up. All right, we'll talk portal news when we return. Got some basketball news to talk about with the Memphis Tigers, what's going on with them. And then at 8:05, more basketball as DeMichael Cole will join us from the Commercial Appeal. Speaking of basketball, take your skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis with two locations, one in Collierville, one in Cordova. It's a revolutionary basketball training facility. I mean, cutting-edge technology. Plus, the gamification, you're going to be having fun while getting better. It provides instant, objective feedback. When you step into one of these shooting bays, you're going to find out what you're doing on every single shot with the arc and the depth, and the numbers are right there. Again, the analytics are right there for you. But you're also going to have the one-on-one expert coaching. They have coaches that have coached at every single level, from high school to college, even the NBA. In Cordova, the 50,000-square-foot facility, two NBA regulation-sized courts, three high school-sized courts, four shooting bays with Shoot 360 technology. They host AAU events. They also host coaching clinics, which are free. So coaches out there, want to get involved? Just find out when the next one is being offered by contacting Shoot 360 Memphis. In Collierville, they're located on 85 Market Street. That number is 901-316-5500. In Cordova, Big Orange Road, 901-779-3176. Call, set up a tour, check out the facilities, and then join, because you could join for a month, and that's it. You're only in for a month. If you don't like it after it's all said and done, no harm, no foul. I'm telling you, though, I'm going to guarantee you're going to fall in love with it. If you're a basketball player, boy, girl, man, woman, whatever the case may be, I don't care what your age is, you like shooting basketballs, you're going to enjoy doing so at Shoot 360 Memphis. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
I saw some reviews on that Michael movie. Not good. I'm still going to see it. Got to see it. But the reviews have not been great, not been kind to the folks producing that Michael movie. From the transfer portal, the Memphis Tigers extremely busy, although nothing has happened this week as far as a player committing to the University of Memphis, according to several reports that have been out there the last couple of days. Yesterday, Memphis hosted Northwestern point guard Jaden Reed, as they are still in search of a point guard. Also, Tylik Weeks from Southern Miss visited earlier this week. Good scorer, being courted by Ole Miss as well. He's visited Ole Miss, among several other schools. And then, according to Jason Munns, today, Cornelius Williams from North Alabama, 6'9 forward, big-time rebounder, will visit Memphis. You know, it used to be the days before NIL, which weren't that long ago. It's not one of those. You know, when I was a little kid, there used to be something before NIL. Well, it wasn't that long ago that, first of all, Memphis wouldn't even look at a guy from North Alabama. But if they did, that dude would be like, sign me up. Penny Hardaway's the coach. Sign me up. Now it's like, maybe Memphis will be good enough to get the guy from North Alabama after he visits. And, you know, we'll see what. Even battles with Ole Miss. Yeah, Memphis will win those battles. Man, the days and times have changed. That's what you're looking at. You're trying to get the best of the rest. But that's the latest as far as Memphis. Maybe we'll find out something this week that they'll be adding to what they've already brought in, which we know includes two holdovers from last year, three freshmen, and is it two or three players that they've signed so far? Eli Cummings?
Three.
So that's eight. So again, if they go to the max, that's seven more players. But right now, those eight players, you look at it and you go, okay, it's a start, but far from the finish line. As they got to get some bigs, they got to get a point guard, and they're working diligently to try to do that. In the meantime, the rich get richer nationally, those who have the money. And the kid from Iowa, who was huge in the tournament, had the big three against Florida, Alvaro Fulgueras, 6'10 forward, and a former Horizon League Player of the Year before he went to Iowa, is heading to Louisville. Louisville has cashed in during this portal period. Louisville is getting some big players and spending a lot of money. We've heard Indiana's doing great. Louisville's doing great. Some of the others that you would expect are cashing in as well. But my gosh, Louisville, another big hit for them through the portal.
Yeah, they've got Badunga, who was a big one, and they've got the kid Shelstad from Oregon. You know, the ACC as a whole, Louisville's doing well. Miami's done very well in the portal. North Carolina now has picked it up in the portal. They've added some big time additions out of the portal. Again, Duke, and you know they got Blackwell from Wisconsin and a couple of other good portal hits, plus guys they've got coming back and freshmen they've got coming in. But yeah, the ACC overall has done pretty well so far in the portal, but Louisville certainly is probably at the top of that group as far as that is concerned in the ACC.
Yeah, Michael Malone starting to bring in some players for North Carolina. Got a couple in yesterday, but lost a coach. Kim English will not be heading to North Carolina as an assistant. Kim English, the former head coach at Providence and a couple other places, I believe. I can't remember the other places off the top of my head. But he is a former head coach who was going to join that staff along with Chucky Martin and a couple others. So he'll be in search of another assistant coach to add. But they're doing well now as far as the recruiting is concerned. Also yesterday, John Blackwell, third team Big Ten selection, all Big Ten guy from Wisconsin, heading to Duke. You know, you feel for Duke, right? You just feel they never get players. And it's good to see that they have gotten a very good player in the portal. Nice to see. Feel real good for Duke. You know, something for the little guys. And then we were talking about North Carolina. One of the players they picked up from the American Conference, they picked up a center/forward, Maxime Logue from Florida Atlantic. He only averaged 5 points and 3 rebounds. And they probably overpaid the guy. But that's what they're doing when they're looking for bodies, especially if they're looking for big bodies. And who takes the brunt of this? The smaller conferences. Florida Atlantic has lost several players now. Vanderpool, they lost him. South Florida has lost some key players. Tulane, obviously, losing Brumball. That's why people look at Memphis and go, okay, well, Memphis lost some players too. Well, yeah, but some by design, but others on their own accord. But they will more than likely replenish, you would think. And that's why Memphis goes in every year as basically being the favorite. But it didn't pay off last year. It didn't work out last year. But these other schools right now, I mean, they're reeling trying to find players. And you said the one guy from, was it UTSA or North Texas that stayed, that didn't go in the portal?
North Texas is the one. They've got an all-conference player who has announced he is returning.
Right.
To North Texas. He's the only one of the, I believe the only one of the three team all conference selections from the American that will be back at his school.
Very, very rare to be able to keep, even for Memphis now, very rare to be able to keep players that are all conference performers if they have any eligibility remaining.
And that, and I don't, again, there may be some players in that are listed as seniors who have eligibility remaining. I don't know. Everybody seems to be fighting for another year of eligibility, whether you've played 6 or 7 years at this point.
Did you see the Antoine Jones story from yesterday?
I don't even understand the stuff anymore. But if you're not, if you played college sports and you haven't transferred and haven't sued the NCAA for extra eligibility, I don't believe you've actually played college sports.
Antoine Jones, remember him with the Memphis Tigers? I actually liked the guy. He's played for, I think, 37 schools.
Right. They're giving him credit for 8.
But... right. They're trying to give him his 8th year, or he's trying to get his 8th year. He probably won't, but I say probably.
Like, I don't even know.
We've seen other weird stuff happen.
I get it. Lawyers are lawyers, and they'll take whatever. But, like, I don't even know how you go argue for a kid to have an 8th year of college eligibility. I don't care what's happened to him. I don't know how you possibly can go argue with a straight face that a kid deserves an 8th year of eligibility to play college basketball.
Well, if they implement, and you're right, but if they implement that new rule, here's the thing, the 5 for 5, and you got to be, what, 19 or starting your senior year, whatever the case may be. But those deals will probably be taken to court as well. Like, somebody will argue that's unconstitutional, that shouldn't happen. But, yeah, when I saw the Antoine Jones story yesterday, I thought it was an Onion story. I'm like, really? That guy? I mean, his first year was in the Hoover administration. I don't even get that. All right, we'll take a break. Hour one in the books. When we come back to Michael Cole, where are the Grizzlies going to go? We know they're going to pick 16th. We know they got a lottery pick as well. We know they'll pick 32nd overall. What are the possibilities? He wrote about it in the commercial appeal. We'll talk to the